Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
There's a speech that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave on his appearance day, Vyasa Puja, celebration, that it was recorded and transcribed, that I'd like to read because it also gives us instruction about the mood of the Vaishnav who, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's edict and instruction to consider oneself to be lower than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, and so forth. At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks all the devotees to become spiritual masters, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And I mentioned this morning that no one can claim to be permanently unqualified. One has to understand that by one's own volition, one is in whatever situation one is in now. And also understand that Krishna's potency is such that one who applies him or herself to the process of devotional service will be guided by Krishna and assisted to make advancement. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna's within, giving intelligence. In fact, Gajendra, in his prayers, says that the Lord is never inattentive. It's not that, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport to one of the verses in which Gajendra mentions this, the Lord is not only brought to bear when we offer our prayers, but even before we offer prayers, Krishna's fully aware of our situation and eagerly waiting for us to turn our attention to him, eagerly awaiting for us to help us. And so, with all that considered, anyone who takes to the process of devotional service from any situation of life can be elevated. Not only that, it is a mood of the devotees to take responsibility for the Lord. This is a kind of an austerity, that the devotee is humble and considers him or herself lower than a blade of grass. But then, for the sake of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, takes some responsibility, which may be uncomfortable, but which is a divine austerity, for the sake of assisting the Lord in his mission and spreading it all over the world. So, if all goes well, when I open the lid of this computer and it didn't somehow mystically disappear, or any other kind of debacle, I'll read this. So far, not going well. The title, Assuming Responsibility of Being Guru. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's words, transcribed, on his Vyasa Puja Day. We have taken upon ourselves the responsibility of welcoming this grave charge. This may be difficult to translate. All the audience have accepted ordinary seats. I alone have been provided with a lofty seat. All are being told, in effect, do have a look at a big animal from the zoo gardens. What arrogance! So foolish, so wicked. Have you ever seen such a big brute? Garlands of flowers have been put around his neck. What laudations! What bombastic, long-drawn, and hyperbolic adjectives! And how complacently, too, he is listening to the praise of his own achievements. How intently, and with his own ears. He also evidently feels delighted in mind. Is he not acting in plain violation of the teachings of Mahaprabhu? Can such a big brute, so selfish and insolent, be ever reclaimed from brutishness? I happen to be one of the greatest fools. No one offers me good advice on account of my arrogance. Inasmuch as nobody condescends to instruct me, I placed my case before Mahaprabhu himself. The thought occurred to me that I would make over the charge of myself to him and see what he would advise me to do. Then Sri Chaitanya Dev said to me, "Whomsoever thou meetest, instruct him regarding Krishna. By my command, being guru, deliver this land. In this thou wilt not be obstructed by the current of the world. Thou wilt have my company once again at this place." In these verses is to be found the proper explanation of the apparent inconsistency noticed above. He whose only teaching is humility, greater than that of a blade of grass, said, "By my command, being guru, save this land." In this instance, Mahaprabhu himself has given the command. His command being, perform the duty of the guru, even as I do it myself. Also convey this command to whomever, to whomsoever you chance to meet. Chaitanya Dev said, "Tell them these very words, that is, by my command, being guru, save this land. Deliver the people from their foolishness." Now whosoever happens to hear these words would naturally protest with palms joined, "But I am really a great sinner. How can I be guru? You are God in himself, the teacher of the world. You can be guru." To this, Mahaprabhu replies, "In this thou wilt not be obstructed by the current of the world. Thou wilt have my company once again at this place. Do not practice the craft of a guru for the purpose of injuring others through malice. Do not adopt the trade of a guru in order to get immersed in the sloth of this world. But if you can, indeed, be my guileless servant, you will be endowed with my power, then you need not fear." "I have no fear. My Gurudev has heard this from his Gurudev, and it is for this reason that my Gurudev has accepted even such a great sinner as myself and has told me, by my command, being guru, save this land." It is only those who have never heard these words of Gaurasundara who say, "How odd to listen to one's own praise." While the guru is instructing his disciple in the 11th skanda of the Bhagavatam, what a great sin, in their opinion. Is he not perturbating? What is the acharya to do when he has to explain the shloka, "Acharyamam vijaniyat"? Never disregard the acharya. Never entertain the idea that the acharya is your equal in any sense. These are the words of Sri Krishna himself by which the jiva is to be benefited. Is the guru to take himself off, to desert his seat, the seat of the acharya from which these words are to be explained? That office his Gurudev has conferred on him. If he does not act up to its requirements, he is doomed to perdition by reason of his offense against the holy name in the shape of disrespect toward the guru. He has to do it in spite of the fact that such procedure is apparently open to the charge of egoism. When the guru imparts the mantram to the disciple, should he not tell him by this mantram to worship the guru? Should he say instead, "Give the guru a few strokes of the shoe or of the horsewhip"? The guru is never to be decried. The guru is the abode of all the gods. Should the Gurudev abstain from communicating these words to his disciple while reading the Bhagavatam to him? To him alone who possesses guileless spiritual devotion, similar to the transcendental devotion that is due to Krishna himself, to the Gurudev, the holy mysteries are manifested. Is the Gurudev not to tell these things to his disciples? Atau Guru Puja. The worship of the Guru has precedence over all others. The Guru is to be served just as Krishna is served. The Guru is to be worshipped in a particular way. Is the Guru to desert his seat without telling all these things to the disciple? In the angle, there is always the defect in the shape of absence of the fullness, the evenness of angle, of level, of 180 degrees or of 360 degrees. But in the plane surface, in 360 degrees, there is no such defect. That is the emancipated state. No defect is possible. That in the emancipated state, no defect is possible. This simple truth, ordinary foolish people entirely fail to grasp. As the saying goes, having started on the dance, it is no use to draw close the veil. I am doing the duty of the Guru, but if I preach that no one should shout Jai to me, that is to say, if I say in a roundabout way, sing Jai to me, it would be nothing short of duplicity. Our Gurudev has not taught us such insincerity. Mahaprabhu has not taught such insincerity. I have to serve God in the straightforward way. The word of God has come down to the Gurudev. I have to obey it in all sincerity. I will not disrespect the Guru at the instance of any foolish or malicious sectarians, especially as Sri Gurudev has directed me, saying, by my command, being Guru, save this land. This command has my Gurudev preached. My Gurudev, in his turn, has conveyed the command to me. I will not be guilty of any insincerity in carrying out that command. In this matter, I will not accept the ideal of ignorant, insincere, pseudo-ascetic sectarianism. I will not learn insincerity. The worldly-minded, the malicious, the pseudo-renunciationists, the selfish cannot understand how the devotees of God, spurning at everything of this world by command of God, never, not even for a second, deviate from the service of God through all the 24 hours. Hypocritical sectarians, pseudo-Vaishnav sects, those sects that cherish internally the longing for earthly fame, naturally enough think, what a shame it is for one to listen to the eulogies of disciples occupying the seat of the Guru. But every Vaishnav regards every one of the Vaishnavs as the object of his veneration. When Thakur Haridas exhibits the attitude of humility, Mahaprabhu says, you are the greatest of the world, the crest jewel of the world. Be agreeable, let us have our meal together. He carried in his arms the body of Thakur Haridas, which is eternally existent, self-conscious and full of spiritual bliss. In the community that follows Sri Rupa, the qualities of desiring no honor for oneself and of readiness to duly honor others are fully present. Those who detect any disparity are, like the owl, blind while the sun shines. They commit an offense by such conduct. If I disobey the law which has come down to me through the chain of preceptorial succession, the offense due to omission to carry out the command of the Guru will sever me from the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. If in order to carry out the command of the Vaishnav Guru, I have to be arrogant, to be brutish, to suffer eternal perdition, I am prepared to welcome such eternal damnation and even sign a pact to that effect. I will not listen to the words of other malicious persons in lieu of the command of the Gurudev. I will dissipate with indomitable courage and conviction the currents of thought of all the rest of the world, relying on the strength derived from the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. I confess to this ignorance. By sprinkling a particle of the pollen of the lotus feet of my preceptor, crores of people like you will be saved. There is no such learning in this world, no such sound reasoning in all the 14 worlds, in no man gods, that can weigh more than a solitary particle of the dust of the lotus feet of my Gurudev. Gurudev, in whom I have implicit trust, can never spite me. I am by no means prepared to listen to the words of anyone who wants to hurt me or to accept such a malicious person as my preceptor. That lecture was given in Vrindavan by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on his Vyasa Puja Day. Jill, that speech came into my mind while we were there, that the devotee has great responsibility to take the burden of actually making advancement in devotional service and carrying that responsibility by spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we'll take a few comments or reflections from the just from hearing that one piece. Nagar Kirtan Prabhu.
I liked how he said that Gurudev will never spite me. And I was wanted to get a more clear definition of that word, spite, what he meant by that exactly.
What is the definition of spite, please? You got to use the mic.
A desire to hurt, annoy, or offend someone.
Hurt, annoy, or offend.
Yeah, I really like that because, at least me personally, and I assume all conditioned souls, have the tendency to think that the world is against them and that everybody is out to hurt me. And this confidence, this clarity that Gurudev will never have that intention towards me. I thought that was a very simple but very meaningful statement.
Thank you. Yes.
Prabhu, I like the comment, and I think in the morning you referred to the mood of a Vaishnava. So just hearing this transcription, it kind of reminds us that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although he's apparently putting a contradiction in front of us as to, you know, what Gurudev, when he gets all this glorification, but how wonderfully he reconciles the whole fact that when things are done in the right mood and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained it to be done, then they have an effect and the one can still be humble. So that was very nice.
Thank you. You're smiling, so I knew you got something.
I was just thinking that when you do take the responsibility of becoming a guru, your responsibility to work on yourself doubles. And it's a very big responsibility to carry. I was just thinking about how Mahaprabhu once instructs you to, one, carry the responsibility externally, but then double the responsibility internally. So I've
heard that from a lot of parents who say when the child appears, they feel double the responsibility because there's somebody there mimicking what they're doing. Madhavananda Prabhu.
It reminds me of another article we printed some years ago from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta about Guru. And he says there that it's very important that the Vaishnavas should accept the responsibility of being Guru. Otherwise, how will our Gaudiya Parampara continue? He said, but there's a problem with that because as soon as someone becomes Guru, they're no longer a Vaishnava. And then he goes on to describe what guru means in a very beautiful way. He said that guru is that person who, no matter how many people are coming and praising him and saying so many things about him, his inner understanding of himself as a servant is never disturbed. Very similar to what you were just reading.
Thank you.
His Holiness Keshe Bharti Maharaj, when he comes to Denver and visits us, this is one of his staples that he'll read to us. And every time that he reads it, I'm always very much taken by the phrase that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. He says, every Vaishnava considers every other Vaishnava object of his veneration. So that part always really stands out.
Hare Krishna, I just like the point that it's been stressed again and again that every devotee has got a responsibility at advancing in the Krishna consciousness, and then every devotee's responsibility to be guru, no matter how advanced or what stage they get in, but the responsibility that every person has to advance, and everybody's responsibility to be guru. I like this, you know, the point that you stressed on that.
So that means double the responsibility from whatever situation one's in. Take the responsibility that it is possible for me to represent the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become an example, and not rely on the excuse that it's not possible to embrace the order and by doing so become helped and empowered by Krishna and by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself.
Thank you. The part where you told about Gajendra, I like that where you said the Lord is never inattentive, even before we offer our prayers. That's so nice to hear. It gives us so much hope that the Lord is ready and we have to do our part.
Prabhupada mentions in the first canto, second chapter, 17th verse, which is Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Sridhya Taksto Hibadrani Vidhunoti Suritsutam. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. He says that the Lord desires us to go back to Godhead more than we can ourselves desire. And then he goes on to say that practically no one wants to go back to Godhead. And in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's a sequence in which Gopukumar comes to the Vaikuntha world and there meets Lord Narayan, who tells him that, I've been waiting for you for so long, so many lifetimes I waited for you to come. I waited for you to at least turn your attention towards me. And each time, you spent a whole lifetime and never gave your attention. He admits that he intervened at a certain point and forced him to take birth in Govardhan. But it's striking that, and it goes along with what you're saying, that Krishna is eternally attentive and eternally eager. After all, as a living entity transmigrates or loiters in the material world, Krishna makes arrangements to be there with every living entity, to oversee, to permit, and obviously then even a tiny bit of turning one's attention towards Krishna will be fruitful, as Krishna says in the Gita, that just a little bit of sincerity, sincere effort in that direction from that, Krishna says, I give intelligence from within. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Three more? Vinod.
I was just reminded of, I recently read over again Srila Prabhupada's definition of humility in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says that humility means that one is not eager to get respect. I can't remember the exact wording. And I was just thinking that one accepting the responsibility, whether it's being a guru or other responsibilities, can be seen as someone who doesn't have that understanding of the definition of humility, can be seen as, oh, this is pride. But actually, the devotee can do it in such a way where they're not, where they remain humble. And just because, whether the respect is coming or not, the devotee is not attached because they're internally satisfied.
Much to the point. Thank you.
I was thinking if Vinod speaks, then I'll speak, and somehow it happened. So he mentioned respect, and I was marveling at how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was offering respect, which seems to be the paramount responsibility of the guru. Any teacher that's respected by society in any discipline develops a respect for the medium that they're working with. An architect will respect the structural things like concrete and steel. An accountant will respect the numbers. And so the guru will respect. And he will offer that at every moment. So even the new devotee can be a guru to all other devotees by properly offering respect to everyone else according to their position, and in that way rightly situate everyone and teach them, be guru.
Thank you, beautiful. Radha Mohan Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. The part where you mentioned where Maharaj was saying, if the guru does not, like, guru also has to teach. So it reminded me of Srila Prabhupada when he started this movement single-handedly. I mean, how he was, teaching everybody what does it mean to have a guru and, how to offer respects. So clearly, Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that quality so perfectly, where clearly he was teaching all the disciples how to respect the guru by literally telling them, this is how you worship the guru.
Yeah, and if we look at it, the sequence of how it happened, it wasn't all at once. It was according to the capacity of those who were coming closer to him that he would instruct them according to their capacity. Because obviously in the beginning we hear about how when Prabhupada came, he simply was the servant of others and would deliver prasadam. He would bring it around. Mukunda Maharaj writes in his book about how Prabhupada had his first program in his loft. And there in the loft, Prabhupada cooked everything and invited everyone. And then he walked around with the prasadam. No one knew how to serve. Even if he told them, they wouldn't understand, and they would have taken it in a wrong way also. But he went around saying, take more, and serving each person by hand individually. And gradually, as devotees developed respect, even at one point someone asked if they were addressing him properly. In the beginning days, people wouldn't have been able to accommodate understanding giving a special title to their teacher. But as things progress, then they develop that sense. And Prabhupada gave instruction appropriately so that they could accommodate it. And he did make a point to instruct his disciples about how to worship him properly. In fact, Satyadev Prabhu joined Krishna Consciousness Movement in Japan in 1970 on Janmashtami. And the next day was Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, and he happened to be there in Japan at that time. And the devotees had not worshipped him properly on Vyasa Puja. They hadn't brought flowers, and they hadn't done any of the requisite ceremonies for that day. And Prabhupada let them know, right, Satyadev? Do you have any comments about the letter or any thoughts that you want to pass on to us?
Just that it really impressed me. That was my first impression was, I joined on Janmashtami, so there was a feast at midnight, and Prabhupada's senior devotees were with him because he was on his way traveling from America to India to begin the Krishna Consciousness Movement in India. And until that time, pretty much he had been preaching in the West, preaching in America. So Kirtananda Swami was there, which was one of Prabhupada's first disciples and first sannyasi in the movement. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. He wasn't a Maharaj, but he was like Prabhupada's right-hand man. And Sudama Prabhu was there, who was his personal servant previously. And Devananda Swami, Madhuvisa Swami, these were all the first Swamis in the movement and Prabhupada's senior men. And he had instructed them. I found out later that previously no one had done Vyasa Puja in ISKCON yet. So no one knew about it, or no one knew how to celebrate the appearance day of the Guru. And so Prabhupada had previously talked to them about that. So that's just a little background information. So anyway, I joined on Janmashtami and I stayed overnight. And the next day, Srila Prabhupada came to the temple. And it was the most ecstatic mood. I didn't know what ecstasy was, but I knew what ecstasy was after that. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada came and there was a flower garland made. So that's something that the devotees had been doing regularly, making garlands for Prabhupada. So that wasn't new. And Sudama Prabhu kindly gave me the garland and asked me to put it on Srila Prabhupada. And so I did, and I paid my obeisances, and then Prabhupada came into the temple. And then when he sat down, he was expecting at that point for the Vyasa Puja Pushpanjali ceremony to begin. And so the mood was so ecstatic until Prabhupada sat down, and then nothing happened. Prabhupada was waiting there, and no one brought forward flowers. So then you hear Borijan Prabhu, he writes in his memoirs about this. And so Prabhupada began to say Pushpa, and Pushpa means flower. And Sudama Prabhu, it was like the Three Stooges movie. Sudama Prabhu runs into the kitchen and he begins to cook Pushpa rice. Have any of you had Pushpa rice? Pushpa rice are these little curd balls cooked with rice. So anyway, this went on for a few more minutes, this craziness, this panic, and then finally everyone realized, at least the senior devotees realized they'd made a grave mistake. So Prabhupada was silent, and one by one, Kirtananda Maharaj stood up. He asked for forgiveness. He admitted his mistake, and he was crying. Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Madhuvisa Swami, one by one, they all apologized to Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada just remained very grave, very silent, and you could just feel
the depression in the room. Prabhupada got up and walked out, just like that. He didn't say a thing. He just left. And so all the devotees were devastated. And I was quite shocked myself. All I knew that I was very happy and now I'm very sad. I didn't know what was going on. And so after Prabhupada left, everyone was just in a state of shock and mourning and didn't know what to do. And then about 2 hours later, there was a telephone call to the temple. And it was Prabhupada's personal servant, who was Kartikeya Maharaj. He was one of the first sannyasis, and he was also Prabhupada's personal servant at the time. He said that Prabhupada will come to the temple tomorrow, and you can have the Vyas Puja Pushpanjali ceremony then. And everyone went, Haribo! And so everyone was happy, and then Prabhupada did come the next day to the temple, and the devotees properly executed the Vyas Puja ceremony for their Guru Maharaj. I think it was. I can't absolutely say that for sure, but I knew that no one knew what to do. Even the most, they were the most senior devotees. Okay.
Okay, but would you also comment about the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's letter or his speech? Any thoughts?
Oh, well, as you were saying this speech, I was just remembering back, 10, 15 years ago, after Srila Prabhupada left the planet, everyone was we were all, of course, so shocked and so hurt and so confused and so young. And then everyone attempted, to execute that order to become guru. But unfortunately, we imitated Prabhupada more than we did humbly take that service. And people thought that, if I'm going to be guru, then everyone has to worship me just in the way we worship Prabhupada. But it was kind of contrived. It wasn't based on faith and people's inspiration. And of course, so many gurus fell down. So I just remember all that time, Vaisheshika Prabhu and I and other God brothers, we were thinking, wow, I'm never going to take that service. And besides, how can you rubber stamp a guru? That's not how you can create faith in disciples. So it was a learning process for all of us, how to take up this guruship. And then so much emphasis was placed on Diksha Guru and not on Shiksha Guru. And in many ways, Shiksha is paramount to our development in Krishna consciousness, and we all depend on that. And that the Shiksha Guru and the Diksha Guru are equally representations of Krishna. So these were all things Prabhupada had written in his purport, but now it was time to bring them to life and to realize them and actually execute it. And so I just remember I was thinking of the days that we were discussing before we took that responsibility ourselves, how we were discussing and trying to understand what does it really mean. And so to hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's words and to... it just reminded me of something that Srila Sridhar Maharaj said. He said that when there's an epidemic and everyone's dying of a disease and you have the medicine to cure that disease, maybe you're not a qualified doctor. Maybe you're not that expert. But if you have that medicine, are you going to deny it to people who need it, even if you're not so-called perfect? So I thought of that. And I also thought of that it is our responsibility. It's just like if you're preaching Krishna consciousness and people are depending on you, you're making them devotees, you're instructing them, and they're developing faith in you, and then they say, well, I'd like to take an initiation from you. Well, no, sorry, I don't do that. You have to go over there. It's just, it's a little artificial. So I think we're still developing, Krishna ISKCON as a movement is still developing. I think we're still in our adolescence. I don't think we're fully mature even as an organization yet. And that we actually need many, many more Diksha Gurus, need to be empowered, and that you'll find, in my experience, initiating is not such a difficult thing. The difficult thing is actually setting that example and giving effective instruction in Shiksha. That's a real challenge, and so I'm just kind of rambling on here, but I see as individuals we have to mature and take responsibility, but as a movement we also have to mature and take responsibility, and those who are teaching people right now and being their Shiksha Guru have to give everything. Give full service. So everyone should be able to come to you and get what they need. And that includes Diksha and Shiksha. And it should be based naturally on the inspiration a person has from receiving care and instruction from that person. Then that's the natural progression. And Prabhupada says that also, that generally speaking, the Shiksha Guru will become the Diksha Guru. So the devotees have to change the mindset, or we have to change the mindset as a movement, and understand that if we're going to teach and we're going to cultivate Krishna consciousness in others, then we have to be, we should expect that we should also eventually give them Diksha. And become Diksha Gurus as well. Ijo.
Ijo desu ka.
Or, how do you say that in Japanese? In Chinese, how do you say finish? Wanbi. Wanbi.
Means the end. Now let's, before we lose the opportunity, chant our chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What page? 72. 32. Sanju ni page. Arjuna vacha ye shastra vidamutstrija yajante shudayan vitaha tesham nishta tuka krishna Satvamaho rajastamaha Shri Bhagavan uvacha Trivida bhavati shraddha Dehinam sa svabhavaja Satviki rajasi chaiva Tamasi cheti tam shrinu Sadvanu rupa sarvasya Shraddha bhavati bharata Shadhamayo yam purusho yo yachchadha se eva saha yachante satvika devan yaksharaksham sirajasaha pretan bhuta gunam shchanye yajante tamasajanaha ashastra vihitam koram Tapyante ye tapo janaha, dhambahankara samyukta, kamaraga balanvitaha karshayanta sharirastham bhutagramam achetasaha mam chayvanta sharirastham tanvidyasuranishchayan aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha yajnas tapas tatadhanam tesham bhedam imam shunu ayu sattva balarogya sukha priti vivardana rasya snigda sthira hridya ahara sattvika priyaha katvam lalavanat yushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasasyeshta tukha shoka maya pradaha yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedyam bhojanam tamasapriyam apala kankshabir yagno vidhi drishto ya ijate yashtavyam evati manna samadaya sasatvikaha abhisandhaya tu palam dambhartam apichaiva yat ijate bharata shreshta tam yagnam vidirajasam vidihinam ashishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam shada virahitam yagnam tamasam parichakshate deva dvija guru pragna pujanam shauchamarjavam ramacharyam mahimsacha shariram tapa uchate anuvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate manak prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshudirityetat tapo manasam uchate shraddhaya paraya taptam tapas tatri vidam narahi apala kankshabir yuktai satvikam parichakshate satkara mana pujartam tapo dampena chaiva yat kriyate tad iha proktam rajasam chalam adhruvam muda granhinatmano yat hidaya kriyate tapaha parasyotsadanartam ba tattamasam udahritam datavyam iti yaddanam diyate nupakarine deshe kale cha patre cha tadanam satvikam smritam yattu patyutarkhartam palam udishyava punaha diyate cha plakrikleshtam tadanam rajasam smritam adesha kale yaddanam apratebhyascha diyate asatkritam avagnatam tattamasam udaritam om tat sat iti nirdesho brahmanas trividasmritaha brahmanas tena vedascha yagnascha vihita pura tasmat om ityudharitya yagnadana tapakriyaha pravartante vidhanokta satatam brahmavadinam tat ityanu bisandaya palnam yagna tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vivida kriyante moksha kankshibihi sadbhave sadubhave cha sat ityetat prayujyate prashaste karmani tata sach chabda parta yujyate yagne tapasidane cha stiti sad iti chochyate karma chaiva ta artiyam sat ityeva bidhiyate ashradaya hutam datam tapas taptam kritam chayat asat it yuchate parta na chatat pretya no iha om tat sariti srimad bhagavad gita supanishatsu brahmavidyayam yoga shastre shri krishnarjuna sambhare shradatraya vibhag yoga nama shaptasho dhyayaha hari om. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances, not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Even the food each person prefers is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Now hear of the distinctions between them. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, food that is tasteless, decomposed, and putrid, and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of Scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of Scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. This threefold austerity, performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. Penance performed out of foolishness with self-torture or to destroy or injure others is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. But charity performed with the expectation of some return or with a desire for fruitive results or in a grudging mood is said to be charity in the mode of passion. And charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performance of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word Tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. The Absolute Truth is the objective of devotional service, sacrifice, and is indicated by the word Sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called Sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the Absolute Nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Son of Pritha. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life or in the next. And if you just chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, then no matter what else happens in your day, you'll be able to say, I chanted my chapter of Bhagavad Gita, even if the rest of the world went to hell. So it's such an important activity to read the Bhagavad Gita. We heard recently from Rupa Goswami in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, who extolled the glories of Bhagavad Gita, reminding us that it was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and therefore has precedent over all other scriptures. It's directly his words, and therefore they're supremely purifying in all ways. Every syllable is beneficial. And so it's such a healthy diet to add this to one's diet. Why wouldn't a self-respecting human being who knows the spiritual values of life read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day? After all, it only takes a few minutes. And now, we'll take the advice of the third chapter of the first canon of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that if one remembers the various incarnations of the Lord, both in the morning and the evening, that one can be free from all miseries of life, which doesn't sound like a bad idea, does it? So we'll sing the Dasavatar Stotram together. And the idea of doing these regularly every day is that gradually the sound vibration becomes very familiar. It's amazing the capacity of the human brain to assimilate various sounds and teachings. And Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam that although the holes of the ears are rather small, once the sound goes inside, it has an unlimited space in which to accumulate. And it's as large as the sky, the inner mind. And so it's not that there's a certain point at which one gives up hearing because you've done enough. I saw a little cartoon when I was in school. I actually clipped it out and put it on one of my papers when I handed it in. And there was this kid sitting at his desk, and he said, I can't do anymore, my brain is full. And he was telling the teacher that. But actually, the more one hears and chants, and the more one takes the regulation of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the more one can do. And Rupa Goswami says, Tannama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akilamitu Padesha Saram. The Saram of Upadesh. What is the cream of all advice everyone leans in and wants to know when Rupa Goswami is about to say, here's the essence of all advice. You want the cream? I'll tell you what it is. That is, organize your life so that you can hear and chant about Krishna constantly. Or at least the acharyas say this instruction to chant constantly is the ultimate goal. But for those who are beginners, the word nityam always means that at least once a day you should have a regulative process. As Joshua Hevitz, the famous violinist, once said that if I don't practice one day, I notice it. And if I don't practice 2 days, then my teacher notices it. And if I don't practice 3 days, my critics and everybody else in the world notices it too. What to speak of the practice of devotional service. For those who are on the progressive path of skipping a day is seems unconscionable and disastrous even. In considering the fact that we have very few days, even if you get the full course of a human life, you still don't have that many seconds or minutes or hours or days or weeks or months and so forth. But one who makes a regular contribution by hearing in a regulated way will find that over time, he or she becomes wealthy, spiritually wealthy. Just as in investing, if one puts away 10% of one's income into some kind of a sound investment, even if one is not a big earner, if one does that regularly from the time one is, say, 18 years old or something, by the time one's 38 years old, just getting a small return on one's investment, a modest return on one's investment due to compounded interest, one becomes wealthy. So, having said all that as a preamble, we can now chant the Dasavatar Stotram. Because nobody can stop us. Except maybe that guy up there. I got so many prayers here. I need a lawyer to find out where it is. Anando, you want to play this drum? All together. Pralaya payobdi jale dritavana sivedam vihitava hitra chadritramakedam keshavadrita mina sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Jai Jagadisha, Jai Matsudev. Shitiriha vipulatare tishtati tava prishte Dharani dharana kina chakra garishte Keshavadrita kurma sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Kormadev, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jashana Shikare Dharani Tavalagna,
Shashani Kalanka Kalevani Magna Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jai Varahadev Tavakara Kamalavare Nakamar Bhuta Shringa Dalita Hiranyakashi Putanubringam Keshavadritta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Nishingadev Chalayasi Vikramane Balimad Bhuta Vamana Paranaka Nirajanita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Vamana Dev Jai Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Kshatriya Rudhira Ye Jagarapagata Papam Snapayasi Payasi Shamita Bhavatapam Keshavadrita Bhrigupati Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jai Parushuram Re Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vitarasi Dikshurane Dikpati Kamaniyam Dashamukamauli Barim Ramaniyam Keshavadrita Rama Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Shri Ram Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Vahasiva Pushi Vishare Vasanam Jaladabam Halahati Piti Milita Yamunabam Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Balaram Disha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Nindasi Yagyavare Rahaha Shuti Jatam Saraya Hridaya Darshita Pashugatam Keshavadrita Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hari Jai Buddhadev Jai Jagadisha Chani Vaha Nidhane Kalayasikara Valam Dhuma Ketumiva Kimapi Karalam Keshavadrita Kalki Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Kalki Dev Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Bring it on home. Shri Jaya Deva Kaveri Damudita Mudaram Shrinu Sukadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram Keshavadrita Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Dashvid Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Veja mudara teja gandhi vahate Bhugolam udbivrate Daityam darayate balim chalayate Shatrashayam kurvate Paulasyam jayate halam kalayate karunya matanvate lechan muchayate dashakriti krite krishnaya tu.
Last line, one more time.
Lechan muchayate dashakriti krite krishnaya tubhyam nama.
Eleven and 12. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed these 10 different incarnations, all glories to you. O readers, please hear this most excellent hymn by poet Jayadev, for it bestows happiness and good fortune and is the best thing in this dark world. O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you, who incarnate in these 10 forms. In the form of Matsya, you rescue the Vedas. As Kurma, you bear Mount Mandara on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth on your tusk. As Nrsimha, you tear open the chest of the demon Hiranyakashipu. As Vamana, you trick King Bali. As Parushuram, you slay all the wicked Kshatriyas. As Ramachandra, you defeat Ravana, the son of Pulastya. As Balaram, you carry a plow. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion toward all. And as Kalki, you kill the Malechas. Shri Dashavatar Stotra Ki Jai, Shri Jai Dev Goswami Ki Jai, Shri Gita Govinda Ki Jai. What were you doing in Jagannath Puri? Reading the Gita Govinda. We were chanting it every night. And following the theme of taking lessons from the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we mentioned this morning, this is Acharya Leela. And in Lord Chaitanya's dealings with his various devotees, we find a very important lesson that the devotees live to be corrected. Everyone can say, I live to be corrected. And in remembering the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotee Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya's servant, Kamalakanta Vishwas. Kamalakanta Vishwas served Advaita Acharya as his secretary. And he had written a letter to King Prataparudra mentioning that Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. At the same time, and in the same letter, he wrote that Advaita Acharya has incurred a debt of 300 rupees, which was a big debt at the time. And somehow or other, although that letter was meant for King Prataparudra, it came into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Has that ever happened to you? You wrote an email that was about somebody and you pushed the wrong button or you accidentally copied that person? I'm surprised how often it actually happens. Enough to make one consider being very moderate in one's speech and much more careful than one is already. So the same kind of thing apparently happens even when you don't have electronic media, because it happened then. And it came to the notice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who read the letter and then became angry at Kamalakanta Vishwas. Said on one hand, he's proclaiming that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an incarnation of the Lord. And on the other hand, he's saying he has a debt. This is rasa basa, he said. This is inconsistent. And he said, tell Kamalakanta that he can't come here anymore. He's a Balya. This is one of the Upasampradayas. He can't come here anymore. He's shunned by me. And when Kamalakanta got this news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry with him, he became very upset. But when his master, Advaitacharya, heard about it, he also became upset, but for a different reason. He said, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises you, but he's reluctant to chastise me? And he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who did Advaitacharya, and he complained. He lodged a complaint. He said, why do you show so much affection and mercy to Kamalakanta Vishwas, and you hardly chastise me? And then he told Kamalakanta Vishwas, actually, that don't worry, this is something that Vaishnavas want to have happen. He said, in fact, I induced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chastise me because he showed me so much respect. He showed me respect as a senior, and I wanted to be his servant and be chastised by him. So one day, during my evening Bhagavad Gita class, Advaitacharya used to give class, open class every day, and people would come from all over to listen. I instead read from the Yoga Vashishta, which declares that jnana is higher than bhakti, and that the ultimate goal of life is to attain liberation and merge into the Supreme. And in this open class, and of course, the news spread very quickly. Advaitacharya was sitting there giving open class, and he was teaching from the Yoga Vashishta. People came running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Advaitacharya is teaching Yoga Vashishta. He's saying jnana is higher than bhakti. And Mahaprabhu marched there with an angry look on his face, and he asked Advaitacharya, which is higher, jnana or bhakti? And Advaitacharya said, jnana is higher than bhakti. Said, which is higher, jnana or bhakti? Jnana is higher than bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dragged him off his vyasasan and said, say bhakti is higher than jnana. Jnana is higher than bhakti. And he began to beat him. And Sita Takarani came running out and said, he's an old man, don't beat him. He won't survive. And this fracas was going on in the courtyard. Of course, it was like Nityananda Prabhu were smiling to see this pastime going on, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angrily chastising Advaitacharya, who then began to feel great satisfaction, and his countenance shone with this happiness. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that he was beating Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya began to dance and say, just see, now everyone knows that you're my master. And I am your servant because you've chastised me. And he relished that so much. So he told that to Kamalakanta Vishwa. Said, you should be happy. And he lodged this complaint with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then smiled. And of course he accepted back, did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kamalakanta Vishwas. But he mildly instructed him in that way, that you should think things through carefully before you write certain things. And in other circumstances, we find that Sanatana Goswami, in another pastime, became disturbed that Jagadananda had been chastised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, in that circumstance, Sanatana Goswami had come to see and be with and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here in Jagannath Puri. But while he was coming here, he came through the Jarikanda forest and he drank bad water. And it caused some disease which made some oozing sores on his body. And so when he came to Jagannath Puri, he was reluctant to walk anywhere near the path next to the temple where the pujaris were walking, because he thought, if I touch them, I'll contaminate them. And then he saw that when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would forcibly embrace him. And the moisture from these oozing sores was getting on the transcendental body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even though he would try to resist, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had so much affection for Sanatana Goswami that he would embrace him again and again, forcefully. So Sanatana Goswami became very morose, and he began to think that maybe he would commit suicide by jumping under the wheel of the Jagannath's chariot during the Rath Yatra. And he told Jagannanda one day that I've come here to Jagannath Puri to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to make spiritual advancement, but actually the opposite is happening. I'm simply making offenses. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had, being omniscient, known that Sanatana Goswami had this idea to commit suicide, and he had one day brought it up. Well, Sanatana Goswami was at the house of Haridas Thakur, and he simply told him, this idea you have to commit suicide by jumping under the chariot wheel is not approved by me. He said, if this was a bona fide method of getting Krishna's mercy, I would have done it millions of times already. So Sanatana Goswami was considering, maybe I should leave and go to Vrindavan, because previously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had mentioned it. So he told this idea to Jagannanda Pandit, and Jagannanda Pandit said, yes, this is what you should do. You should leave this place and you should go to Vrindavan right after the Rath Yatra. And then when Sanatana Goswami brought this up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Jagannanda had told him to go to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry and he said, who is this impudent boy, Jaggi, who's told you? Who is he to instruct you? And he became very angry and said chastising words about Jagannanda Pandit. And then Sanatana Goswami became upset. He became a little morose. He said, my lord, how is it that you're so affectionate towards Jagannanda Pandit that you'll chastise him like this, but you don't do such a thing for me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, you are actually fit to be my guru. In fact, Sanatana Goswami at one point had told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling to Vrindavan with many people following him, thousands of people, that he shouldn't go at that time. He said, you're fit to be my guru. So why is Jaggi, this young boy, instructing you? He said, don't take it like that. There are different relationships. But the point is that the devotees are eager and ready to be instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is one of the prevailing moods that is a lesson that one can take for advancement in devotional service, is to put oneself in this position where one can accept chastisement. If one is open to that, open to being corrected, and doesn't simply become indignant or morose when being corrected, but is looking for that kind of instruction, then one can stay in a sober mood for advancing in devotional service. Anyone here ever been chastised and then find that your chanting is better afterwards? It's amazing how quickly one can become sober. As Queen Kunti mentions, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivarhat Yavidatum Vai Twamakinchana Gocharam. That there's a kind of intoxication that one gets just from living in the material world, material mindset, thinking that I have something, I am somebody. Prabhupada mentions that once when he was in Howrah Station, he saw a homeless man and he had in his possession some half-burned firewood, and he was dragging it around with him wherever he went. And he had... He was comporting himself as if he was carrying some very important cargo. And Prabhupada noticed that everyone, no matter what station of life one's in, becomes enamored of one's possessions, one's position, and so forth. So to be open to correction, to be open to chastisement, is, according to the mood and activities of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an important way to ready oneself for spiritual advancement. Madhavananda Prabhu, you were going to say something? Oh, I thought you had your hand going up. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Advaita Acharya ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribom. Yes, Mitra Sena Prabhu.
So in relation to what you're speaking about earlier, becoming a guru, and how it's really good to be chastised, we should all become gurus and chastise each other. Is that what you're trying to say?
It's one of the austerities of speech to know how to chastise someone. And Prabhupada mentions, this comes in the 17th chapter of the Gita, we just read it, in the austerities of speech, that giving instruction should be done judiciously, giving chastisement even more judiciously. One should instruct those who have signed up for it, Prabhupada mentions in his purport. In other words, he says one should not instruct those who are not his disciples. And if the relationship is sound enough so that one can give instruction, and what to speak of chastisement is an indication of some intimacy there. Was that in concert with your...
I live to be corrected. Yes, I agree.
Okay. We'll just have... I don't know if it's too dark to see your pages anymore. You can still see. I'll take the drum for a sec. How is it for everyone distributing books today? On the way home, we stopped. There was a young couple who were loading sand into bags and doing hard manual labor. And we showed them a book, and they were very open to it. And then I mentioned that they could give a donation. And the young man looked at me, and then he looked with his eyes at what they were doing, as if to say, look what we're doing. Think I'm going to give a donation? And his wife, noticing what was going on, said, no, you should give him something. And so he said, but I don't have much money. And Nagar Kirtan said, just give 1 rupee. So the man enthusiastically started, with his hands filled with sand, he started looking through his pockets, and he found a few rupees, and he gave them. And they were very, we were very touched by the whole exchange of just how these people were the salt of the earth. They're so sweet and pious and open, and we found that up and down the avenue, wherever we went, the people who were taking the books were interested. I walked by a couple of stalls where people were selling various items, and I saw people in there looking at each other's different books that they had purchased. Which one did you get? Which one did you get? And we saw up and down, people were carrying books away on motorcycles. And practically every direction I looked, people had a little white stick hanging out of their mouth also. And this is true satisfaction, to have the wherewithal and the facility to be able to give out Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible, not miss anybody. And I was wondering how it went for all of you. But maybe you could just say, one or two of you could say individually. Yes, Prabhu.
I think I was just sharing with some of the devotees that the experience was really good, because I was just sharing with them that there is a different energy here in Dham, because in back in London you have to really take the books and push them out. But here people were coming from the front and what is it, show me the stickers, and they were taking the books. So not even a single person said no to the book. So that was really amazing.
It was really amazing. And the lollipops too. We even saw at Toda Gopinath there was a little monkey sitting there eating a lollipop. They eat it kind of funny though. They just crunch the whole thing in a few seconds. It's so passionate. And then they throw the wrapper and walk away like... They didn't eat the stick. Yes?
Hare Krishna. So it was interesting, because I was thinking that we are in the Dham, is that, you know, will book distribution will be successful? Are they going to take books? Because they should already know. But, you know, it was so refreshing to see that they were all so interested to take books. They were interested to take stickers as well. And
very interested. I mean, a lot of times you show people a book in the city, on the street, and they're kind of like, I don't read, I don't have time. And they're kind of like, yeah, book, schmuck. You know, but here, they take the book and they're actually looking through it like, wow, this is valuable. It's such a fulfilling experience. So when people look at it and they go, this is great. And they're like showing it to other people and they're like, you know, you give some money for this. This is important. It actually, that kind of interaction builds faith, and we're getting more from them than they are from us by approaching them and seeing how much respect they have for this literature. Then instills this faith deep in our heart of how this is Krishna that we're giving people, and they see it. And then so we learn from the Dambasis about how important this is. Nama. Yes, one more.
We had taken a couple of books and started distributing, and I had three or four left in my hand. And I was wondering, I shouldn't go back with the books, I should give them. And I was still holding on to them. And I was praying to Lord Jagannath, he's like, how do I distribute it? I see devotees walking and running and giving, and I have bags around me and I have little one back and forth, so how do I do it? And Jagannath blessed, and he sent people to me running, and he's like, give me the book.
So that's how you do it.
All the four books, they said, I need the book, I need the book, and they took the book.
Yeah, it's a transcendental experience. Transcendental experience. Do you have Radha Krishna bowl? Is that there? Shraddha? What page? Radha Krishna bowl. Bol away so by 20. Radha Krishna bol bol. Shika diya, shobna diya, preche neche gornita e. Hari bolo re shikadiya. Hari bolo re shikadiya.
Radha Krishna bolbo bolo re shobha. Shishi Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Michen mayar bashe jacho beshe kacho habu dubu bai habu dubu. Dubu ba haribo bolo re miche maya rabhoshe che maya rabho Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Shishi Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Jeev Krishna das e bishwas kole tohar dukho nai. Haribo bolo re Jeev Krishna das. Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Shishi Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Krishna bolbe jabe pulakka habe jorbi anki bolitai. Krishna Krishna bolbe jabe pulakka habe jorbi anki bolitai. Krishna bolbe jabe pulakka habe jorbi hari po bolo Krishna bolbe jabe. Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Shishi Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Radha Krishna bolo shange cholo e matra bi kachai. Haribo bolo Radha Krishna bolo. Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Shishi Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re shobha. Jai Sakal Vipod Bhakti Vinod Bolin Jako Nom Nam Gai.
Jai Shakal Vipon Bhakti Vinod Bolin Jakunom Nam Gai Jai Bhakti Vinod Bolin Hari Bo Bolore Jai Sakal Vipar Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobha Shishi Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobha Jai Shakla Vipod Bhakti Vinod Bolin Jako Nom Nom Gai Jai Shakla Vipod Radha Krishna Bolo Shange Cholo E Matra Bikaha Chai Radha Krishna Krishna Bolbe Jabe Pula Kahave Jorbi Anki Boli Thai Krishna Jeev Krishna Das E Bishwas Kole Tor Dukho Nai Miche Mayar Bhoshe Jacho Beshe Kacho Habu Dubu Bai Habu Dubu E Shikariya Shobna Diya Peche Neche Gornitai Haribo, 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 Ntai Gouda Haribo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tinto. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Madhupuri Harmonium, for the Kartal players, for the Hare Krishna singers, for the Hare Krishna dancers, for everybody in Jagannath Puri. Go Premanande! Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman.